Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And good morning. I'm Lynette, just after 9 o'clock on a beautiful Saturday morning. Dr. Samira Umat here, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and we're taking your calls too. Phone lines are open. We are up and coming in clear, and we'd love to talk with you at 800-465-8770. So call now. Don't wait until the end of the show. 800-465-8770. John is on the line with us. Hi, John.
Hi.
Good morning. Welcome. You bet.
Thanks for taking my call. I got back a lab test this last week, and my ferritin values dropped like 10 points since last year, and I was low then, and it's like 10 points below low now. What would I do to bring that up, and what would cause that?
Well, what we need to do is find out what's wrong either with your bone marrow, or are you losing blood? Have you got a tumor in your gut somewhere? Have you got a blood dyscrasia?
How low is low? What is your value?
It's out of the range on this, it's 30 to 400, and I'm at 20.
Okay. Yeah. So you dropped from 30 to 20. And do you donate blood?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why.
Yep, most likely, because you're having to make blood, and your blood is not being made as fast as you're losing it with your donations.
Yeah, see, you're not taking any supplements that have iron in them, and so every time you donate blood, you're going to lose a lot of iron, and so this is related to the frequency of blood donation, most likely,
okay. and the intake of iron,
yeah.
Or the lack of intake of iron,
yeah.
Well, what do you take for to help get your iron back up?
Iron.
Yeah.
Just iron.
Well, yeah.
Ferrous gluconate, ferrous fumarate, ferrous sulfate.
The traditional supplement has always been ferrous sulfate, and it's a 325 milligram capsule. However, that causes severe diarrhea. And so we usually go much lower. Ferrous bisglycinate in the range of 20 to 25 to up to 50 milligrams once or twice a day. Mostly start with just once a day. Okay.
I found it in the pharmacy under Easy Iron. The pharmacy guy said, yeah, try the Easy Iron for my tummy.
All right. I will look for that. Oh, great. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
All right. And we are going to take Ben's. He had one more question for us.
Okay.
And the doctor's Ben's calling in from Florida. Hi there, Ben's.
Hello, Ben's.
Welcome back.
Hi. Thank you again. Take my call. Yeah, we got cut off. So I know the question or the growth hormone Dr. Mixon discussed. Is that something I should pursue when I get back to Florida?
Well, something that ought to be considered. You know, you might want to talk to your nephrologist about it. It's, again, it's an off-label, not an frequently used. But back 15 years ago, 16, 17 years ago, when I was able to use it in Washington, we found that it worked quite nicely for our people with, you know, fairly low-grade chronic kidney disease. I've never seen anybody with severe disease use it, but go ahead.
So what's it called again?
recombinant human growth hormone.
Recombinant?
Recombinant.
Okay, that way I'll know what the...
Yeah. Okay.
And in the meantime, you know, if you're taking like Aleve or Advil, you may want to stop that, cut back on the protein, eat more green leafy vegetables, hydrate well, and alcohol you need to cut back on. So you know, there are things that you could be doing in your diet. Make sure that somebody looks at all the supplements also that you're taking, because sometimes you think supplements are healthy, but they may be hurting your kidneys. Some people are sensitive to different kinds of things. Like, for example, curcumin is... anti-inflammatory and good for the brain, but sometimes it can increase creatinine level for some people that have kidney dysfunction. So be very careful. And occasionally, you know, doctors will put patients on antibiotics when they get infection, and you have to tell the doctor that your kidney creatinine level is high, because they can give you renal protective antibiotics, and because some of them are really harsh on the kidneys. So just simple things like that to make sure that you're not adding more damage and protecting your kidneys as best as you can.
Okay. All right. And, Dr. Jimenez also recommended a cleanse, a kidney cleanse by Now. Maybe that might help some. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
I check with Laura and see what it is that she's talking about. So, but... Thank you very much for the call, sir. Bye-bye.
A kidney cleanse. Yeah, we hear about like a liver cleanse or a gut cleanse. What is that? And do they help? What are you thinking?
You know, most of the liver cleanses just give you diarrhea. And that's the whole idea. If you clean out the bowel, then somehow you're going to be pulling all the toxins out of the liver in the process. I'm not quite sure what she has in mind with the kidney cleanse.
A lot of them are just herbals, so it could be just be some rosemary extract or nettles or something like that, that may be just cardioprotective to prevent, renal protective. I want to keep saying heart health. We've been talking about the heart at the office. So. Yeah.
But, you know, anything, though, that is helping the small blood vessels.
Yes.
Is... you know, protective for the kidneys, because kidneys are basically big bundles of tiny, tiny, tiny blood vessels. And that's how they're able to filter out the things that your body wants to keep versus the things that your body wants to get rid of.
Right.
And because they are gigantic bundles of little, tiny, tiny blood vessels, anything that damages small vessels damages kidneys.
Yes.
So, you know, we're looking for things that improve blood flow, improve endothelial function in the in the arterioles.
Yeah. I mean, for liver, we do use milk thistle quite a bit, and it does help. And so renal cleanses also have similar things, herbals and natural botanicals that don't hurt or harm but may have some protective effect for the vascular tree.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good to know. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We're so glad you've called in. We have some callers on the line from Seattle. Francine is with us. Good morning, Francine.
Hello, Francine.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're
doing
just fine. How can we help you today?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a venous ulcer that's not healed. I'm taking an antibiotic called cephalexin. I had actually three of them are healed. I've been going through a treatment where they do the wrap the leg, and I had to wear a wrap for like 4 to 5 days, and they used metahoney and silver nitrate and debridement and compression, and it's been a long haul, but we've got three of them healed, but this one is really stubborn, and I was just wondering if you had any insight on that. And I'm not diabetic, by the way.
Okay, well, that's always the first question with venous ulcers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So any idea what's triggering your venous ulcers? What's the underlying pathology? Because, you know, healthy people don't get venous ulcers.
I know. We don't. I've always been very healthy. I have no idea.
Huh.
What is a venous ulcer, doctors?
Well, basically,
on the leg,
you end up with static blood flow, and the old static blood, you're not getting new blood flowing through, the tissue's not well oxygenated, and it gets so bad that tissue starts to die.
Oh.
And so you actually have, you know, necrotic dead areas on your skin.
And hers are on her leg.
Yeah, well, and that's the most common place.
Is that
where?
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, people with deep vein thrombosis, blood clots in the legs are very susceptible to this.
I've never had any blood clots, and they've checked the blood flow. My blood pressure and blood flow is good.
Okay. What about your general blood pressure? Do you have hypertension?
I do have high blood pressure. I take lisinopril.
Okay. So that can damage the vascular
tree. Yes, it
certainly
can.
And have you had any previous injury to that area, trauma to that area?
Well, I was hit by a car in December as a pedestrian, and unfortunately that was the place I got hit, of course.
Well, all right, so you got local trauma, yeah.
So that triggered the infection.
Yeah.
And that's our answer right there. And when you got that area hit and traumatized, you damaged a lot of the small blood vessels. So the tissue perfusion, even though when they do your arterial studies and they look at your big vessels, they're fine. But those traumatized small vessels that don't show up really on the blood flow studies are the ones that are giving you the grief.
But they're it's extremely painful sometimes. I mean,
yeah.
I've been taking gabapentin, but it takes a long time to kick in.
Wow.
Well, and the gabapentin basically just alters the sensation.
Yeah.
It doesn't really help the blood flow. It alters the type of pain you're having. It usually makes it kind of a tingling or numbness instead of an overt pain. But
do you have any suggestions?
Have you considered hyperbaric oxygen therapy?
No, I don't know what that is.
You know, this last Tuesday we had doctor's training, and all the doctors were here, and I was trying to convince Dr. Mixon to buy us a hyperbaric oxygen chamber.
Yes!
Yes.
The only reason I
needed room to put it in.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, when I looked into it, I was really tempted. But the drawback is the patient has to be in the chamber for an hour, and I thought, oh, my gosh,
wow.
That's a little too long.
It's an hour at least once a day.
Wow.
Every day.
And so you'd want to do it, you know, like once a week, every week, for several weeks.
Yeah.
But definitely there is a lot of reasons to think about it, because it just improves oxygenation to that area. So the trauma has prevented the healing things to get to the area where you need it. And, you know, your high blood pressure and maybe... I don't know if you've smoked in the past or not, but if you have smoked, okay, good. So the trauma and your high blood pressure have kind of caused this problem for you. And so now you need to give it time. You need to give it right blood flow, right nutrients. Oxygen therapy is considered very good. And if you can find a practitioner that provides hyperbaric oxygen therapy, I would seriously consider it.
Yeah.
So it's called
Hyper. Yes. What it means is it's increased air pressure. They put you in a chamber and they pump in oxygen and air mixture, and they increase the pressure of the air to the point that it's actually driving oxygen through the tissues, not just through the blood vessels. And because you're breathing now enriched oxygen under higher pressure, you're carrying more oxygen in your blood to the tissues, but you're also actually driving oxygen right through the tissues down into the necrotic area and allowing those cells to get more oxygen to live.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and... You know, it's a little on the pricey side.
It's non-invasive. There's no downtime.
That's
but
right.
You do have to pay for it.
Yeah, and you're in there, you know, for hours at a time. Just
1 hour.
Take your book.
Once a week.
Well, the problem is that if you're on 1 hour once a week, then 24 hours a day, 6 days and 23 hours, your tissues are still short of oxygen.
Okay, Jerry, 1 hour once a day.
Yes.
Buy your own chamber.
Oh.
So you can rent them.
You can rent them.
You can rent them. They have some that you can rent and use at home.
And then finally, stem cell therapy. You can ask your medical provider if they have any knowledge about stem cell therapy and if you qualify.
Right, and then I've got one other after this break, but we have to listen to the music, get up and dance for a few minutes.
Woo-hoo!
And then we'll talk to you again after the break.
All right. So, Francine, you stay right there. And David, we're going to get to your call in just a few moments, too. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and we will be right back. Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat dancing in the studio. Boy, when we get video here pretty soon.
It'll be fun.
That's right. You'll get to watch all this.
And we'll have to put on some country music.
Yes.
And I'll be wearing my Stetson and my boots.
I'll bring my cowgirl hat in and my pink.
We can all do line
boots.
Dancing round and round the table.
There you go. A whole different
like
view.
Round and round the table.
For Leading Edge Medicine. I love it. My name is Lynette. I'm here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, talking with Francine about the ulcer on her leg.
Yeah. You know, Francine, this is what we call an N of one. Mm. We like studies where we have thousands of people that have tried something, you know, and we know that statistically it works. This is, I'm going to tell you about one that was just with me, and it's the only one I've ever heard of with this, but then I don't know that's ever been tried with anyone else. Back in my youth, when I was an adventurous young man, I soldiered for a while, and I picked up a fair number of injuries, and one of the gunshot wounds actually just skimmed right on the inner aspect of my right ankle. Mm. And it didn't hit the bone. That bullet just missed the bone, but it took out the veins and a lot of the soft tissue, and I had a big divot there for a while. And it healed in, but it had destroyed the venous drainage to the area.
Mm.
And over the next 20 some years, that area started getting darker and darker because of the poor venous flow. And I was getting, that darkness was called hemosiderin. That's where the red cells would die in there and just rupture and leave the heme. And I used to have to massage that every morning, every evening, trying to push the old stagnant blood out and get some fresh blood in, trying to keep it from breaking down and developing into a great big venous ulcer, because it was about 2 inches by 2 inches. It was a big area where that tissue had been damaged. And I kind of played with that thing for 30 years, trying to keep it from forming a venous ulcer. And it was getting worse and worse and worse every year. I mean, it was very thin, very fragile. And then a couple of years ago, I went on rapamycin as a drug for, as an anti-aging longevity medication. And several things happened. One, of course, is it impacted my prostate, and I started peeing better. It increases the ability to make muscle. It perked my mood up, made me even more cheerful than I normally are. But fascinating, over the course of the last 2 years, that long-term fragile area has faded away. It turned pink. I got nice, healthy skin. There's no hemosiderin deposits, and you would never even tell. There's a little scar there, a linear scar about two inches long where the bullet creased. And it's, you know, it's maybe, I don't know, a little under half an inch wide and long. But all of the stasis changes that had been there for 30 years went away. And it's now perfectly normal, healthy skin. Mm. And the only thing I did was the rapamycin was coincident with this starting to heal.
Right. Okay. That's the only new thing Dr. Mixon does. Dr.
Right.
Mixon does a lot of good things for himself.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. He watches his diet.
Yep.
He exercises regularly.
I keep all of my hormones in the 25-year-old range.
Takes a lot of nutrients.
He's got
vitamins.
An 8-pack.
Yeah.
That's right. I've got a hard, flat belly and good muscle mass.
Yeah.
But that, despite all of that, I still had that stasis issue from that old bullet wound. And, you know, now it's totally gone. Other than the little white scar, you can't tell that it was ever injured.
You're reversing aging.
Well, certainly reversing trauma from that damn bullet.
That's good.
So...
Can I get somebody to prescribe that?
Well, your doctors can write it if they want to. You know, I mean, it's clearly a very off-label use.
And
we talked about off-label before.
Realistically speaking, it'll be hard.
It'll be hard. There's probably not three doctors outside of my clinic in the state of Washington that use rapamycin. Mostly the people that use the drug are longevity researchers. Almost every doctor worldwide that is researching ways to extend the human lifespan uses rapamycin themselves. But very few doctors are writing it for their patients.
Is there a side effect?
The most common side effects are absolute most common one is your blood sugar tends to rise a bit. It's not diabetes. What happens is the rapamycin is a starvation mimetic. It makes your body think that you don't have as many calories coming in. And so all the benefits that you get from fasting, you get from the rapamycin. But because your body now thinks that you need to make your own sugar, It starts burning your fat. So your cholesterol goes up a bit because it's pulling the fat off your belly and butt and changing it in your bloodstream. And then your liver takes that and turns it into glycogen, which then gets shifted into some sugar because your body thinks you need sugar because you're starving. Right. So cholesterol and sugar rise a bit, but it's not truly diabetes. And the other thing is some small percentage of people will get a facial rash, and about one person out of three or four will get a little mild stomatitis on the day or so they take the drug. And you only take it once a week, so. But you get a little mouth sore, kind of like a cold sore inside your cheek, and it'll last a day or two.
Okay. So how long did you take it and how often?
Well, I'm still taking it. I take it once a week, every week, and I've done so for a couple of years now. And I didn't take it for that. I had no idea that that was going to happen. I just took it as a longevity product, but it turns out that, you know, when I started taking it, my ankle started getting better and better and better, and now it's just... Except for that little scar where the bullet itself went, you can't tell that it was ever injured.
So if I became a patient there, would you guys be able to prescribe it to me?
We've got a few hundred people on it. Yes. The question is, you know, we don't see people episodically. Coming to longevity is for people that want all of their aging process treated. So, you know, we require a year minimum commitment, and many people have been with us for 20 years and more. And, we treat everything that's making you slow, fat, weak, dumb, and sexless, because our goal is to do the opposite. Make you strong, lean, fast, you know, smart, and horny.
Sexy.
All right?
Okay.
We got her interested.
There you go.
She's laughing.
Yes.
Mentioned stem cell therapy. How would the stem cell work? I actually thought about stem cell, but I didn't think it would apply in my case.
Yeah. Well, localized stem cell therapies are usually done in joints and ligaments and tendons. I'm not aware of anybody doing it for this particular purpose. I'd have to talk to Dan Nelson. He's kind of my stem cell resource on this. So, Dan, if you're listening to this show today, call in and tell us what do you think about the possibility of using some autologous stem cells on this lady's stasis ulcer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing that can be done, and it is something else that I do periodically, and come to think of it, may also be having an impact on my own ankle, is the exosomes, the intravenous exosomes that I get mm-hmm. several times a year. These are exosomes are little pieces of cellular. We used to think they were cellular debris in the cell taking the garbage out. It turns out every cell in your body is communicating with every other cell in your body. And they kick out these little acellular vesicles and exosomes that have messenger RNA into them, and they float through your bloodstream, and they're actually absorbed by other cells. And they are telling every cell in your body how every other cell in your body is doing. And so one thing that is now done rarely, and I do it because I'm a risk taker. I do things a lot of people don't. There are folks now that take newborn placentas in ladies that are delivered by cesarean section under sterile conditions, and they take the cord structures and the placental structures, macerate them, that is, chop them into tiny, tiny pieces, extract the stem cells and the exosomes from them, filter them to make sure there's no viruses, particles, or total cells involved, and then freeze dry them at very low temperatures, like 70 to 80 degrees below zero, and they ship it out. They're a little pricey to buy, but then several times a year I have those thawed and I have them infused intravenously. So I'm getting the messenger RNA from a newborn baby that says grow, heal, you know. I mean, newborn babies replace their skin every day. Mm. That's why...
It's so soft and perfect?
Well, it's not that. It's just you get a diaper rash, and it's red and
flawed. Oh,
and
yeah.
You give it covered for one day, and the next day it's perfect.
That's right.
These kids turn over their skin. They are growing and healing at a furious rate. And so what I do is I want those growth factors dumped into my aging body. Okay. And I do that 3 or 4 times a year. So in addition to the rapamycin, which has extended lifespan in every animal we've ever tried it on, I also do the intravenous exosomes 3 or 4 times a year.
And mm-hmm. many other things.
Oh, yes.
I do a lot of stuff other people don't do.
Yeah. Oh, I hope that's so helpful for you, Francine.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to talk more about how you can become a longevity patient and be able to access the things that we talk about here on the show. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And we're going to talk with David about, and let's see if I can say this right, electromagnetic hypersensitivity. And more information on kidneys. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. This is Longevity, and if you have a question for the doctors, here's the number to get through and in the phone queue. It's 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. It's Leading Edge Medicine on a beautiful Saturday morning. We're glad that you're here tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get to our calls in just a moment. I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and Dr. Samira Umat here as well. And Francine had asked the question, if I become a longevity patient, then would you be able to do things like prescribe things like rapamycin and some of the other things that we do that we talk about? And the answer?
And actually, yes. And some of the exosome things, you know, we're talking about that from the placenta and cord, and no, it doesn't harm the baby. The baby has
already been born.
It's been born.
Yeah.
This is from what would normally have been thrown away. We're now using it. They do make forms of this that are actually designed to help heal wounds.
Yeah.
And so that is something that could be applied to her stasis ulcer in an effort to trigger the tissues into more robust growth.
There are commercial applications for skin tightening, for aesthetic use, for wound healing, and for joint use, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So become a patient at Longevity, and let's do the best that we can for you and your body as you are aging.
The whole purpose here is to stave off the negative changes of aging as much as possible, and to kind of take you back up that hill. I do want you to get stronger and faster and leaner and smarter and sexier and happier. And in the process of making you all of these things, we have had to make you a lot healthier.
Yeah.
And so we lower your risk of cancer and heart attacks and strokes and dementia and diabetes, all of these things that disable and kill people before they should be crippled and killed are things we address at Longevity. Mm-hmm. We're not so much into treating them after they have formed. Mm-hmm. Our job is to keep you from getting these diseases. And so we want you to avoid them. Yeah, and that's the goal.
There you go.
And, you know, like in Francine's case, obviously we want people before they have stasis ulcers, but she couldn't avoid the trauma that happened, which may have triggered this. But our goal is that if life does happen to you, you recover faster. You heal better than your contemporaries. And I hear that all the time, you know, that I'm better than my peers in my age group, and the conversation goes like this. They talk about their prescription drugs, and I tell them what I'm taking, but I'm taking a lot. But I look healthier, I feel healthier, and I'm able to do more, and I accomplish more in a day than my contemporaries do.
And I see it from the other side. You know, we have a lot of physicians as patients.
Yes.
And most of our physicians actually became our patients because they treated our patients. And they find that our patients do so much better than the other people they treat.
Yes.
That the doctors themselves wanted the benefits.
They're like, hey, I want what they have.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, it's really kind of interesting. So, so everything from, you know, ophthalmologists to orthopedic surgeons to pain doctors, gynecologists, we have all kinds of doctors as patients now because they had occasion to run into our other patients, and the doctor wanted what our patients had.
And then also, you know, Jerry, physicians know what happens to their patients. They're seeing them, and they're seeing themselves in those people. And what they're also trying to figure out is how can we change that trajectory for ourselves or for themselves. And also, there's so much more awareness about being proactive in preventing these diseases. Remember, I remember the day when we came on air and we wanted to say we can reverse diabetes, and we were scared because there was no such thing. Nobody said we can reverse diabetes.
Except that we were actually doing it.
Yes.
And also and that so, now everybody else is saying it, we can reverse diabetes.
It's only 25 years later. They finally started doing what we were doing 25 years ago.
You know, the same with memory loss, joint maintenance, health and wellness, cancer, so many other things that can impact on your health, but you have to be proactive. You cannot rely on the traditional medical system to take care of you and to make you better, because their goal is to prevent you from getting worse when you are already sick.
Yep. Yes. They treat the diseases, and we are out to not let you get those diseases. That's right.
Yeah. And all it takes is one simple call, your first step, to come into Longevity and do our free health analysis. That is just a couple of tests, a blood test and an in-body test. Then we have for you our blood panel. Now, this is what we recommend getting done, because this will give the doctor so much information, right?
Yeah. It's about a 70 to 73 page printout.
Yes.
And it tests things that your family physician has never tested.
Mm-hmm.
We do all the standard liver and kidney function studies and electrolytes and blood sugars, etc. But we also do some of your genetic materials, looking to see what you may or may not be at risk for. We're doing your inflammatory markers. We're checking not just testosterone or estrogen. We're checking 8 different hormones.
Yes.
To see, you know, what's declining as you're aging, because those hormones are basically tools your body uses to carry out some very important metabolic functions. And as those levels decline, you decline with them. Mm. And so, you know, there's a lot of people giving people a hormone. Yeah. They're giving them testosterone,
right,
or they're
right.
giving them estrogen, or they give them thyroid, or they, you know, we're looking at it all. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things, most physicians have never checked pregnenolone, dehydroepiandrosterone, et cetera. We check them every 3 months. So we want to make sure your levels are in the middle of a healthy 25-year-old, not in the middle of a healthy 70 or 80-year-old.
That's right. Especially if you're younger than that. That would not
yes.
be good. So come on in. Make that appointment. We want to see you healthy this year. And you're going to be healthier 6 months down the road than you are right now, a year down the road, if you start right now. I'm going to give you that phone number to call to make that appointment. In fact, you can do that right now at 866-86-YOUNG. Of course, we have three longevity clinics. There's got to be one near you in Kirkland, Tacoma, and in Linwood as well, unless you're Ben's, who lives in Florida. But of course,
well,
he comes back.
But he's here now.
Yeah, he's here right now. So he's checking in.
Yeah.
Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. That number again is 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website. That is lmclinic.com. We got to get you signed up. Don't be thinking about it. Start now. Just do it and make that phone call.
Thinking about it doesn't solve anything.
It's not going to help
you.
You
got to come in and do it.
And actually do it. Yes.
And if we're not close to you, that's fine. Just drive.
Yeah, drive a little ways. Worth the drive, absolutely.
And then we're doing the special thing for heart health. So.
Yes, that's coming up in May 9th, at all three of our clinics from 9 to 4. But do you need to make an appointment for this, doctors?
Yes, you do.
Yes, you
okay.
do.
Yeah. And this, and what's going to happen on this day,
it's
May 9th?
Heart health at longevity. So, you know, we've thought about many different things that people need to know about themselves. And one thing that is very clear is that cardiovascular disease is something that is very important. It affects a lot of us, and it's something that we can reverse and change early, only if we know. And the traditional lipid profile that we all do does not give us the information to make adequate changes. And so if we know more about the fractionation, the apolipoproteins, lipoprotein particle A, and inflammatory markers, then we are in a better position to tell you what to do. So we're going to open our doors and do a heart fair, Heart Health at Longevity, May 9th from 9 to 4. Mm-hmm. You can call and make your appointment, and you can just ask for the cardiac inflammatory panel, $300 panel. You fill out a questionnaire. You get physician time to review the labs with you. If you choose to do the longevity panel 2 on that day, that's $595, and you'll get 1.5 hour physician time to review the labs. But then if you become a patient, we will discount the $300 test and use it towards your longevity fees.
So we apply it towards your
longevity premium.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about these panels, you know, it's become clear to us. We have people calling us all the time on the radio, and they give us their cholesterol numbers. Mm-hmm. And they get their LDL, their HDL, their total cholesterol. But the doctor has never done a fractionation panel. You know, he could, but he hasn't. And what we're doing is we break down that LDL into multiple subfractions, okay? And then we do break the HDL down into multiples. Not all LDL and not all HDL is equal. And so some of these are more protective than others. Some of them are more dangerous than others. So we're actually looking at the particle sizes to give you detailed information. And then we're also looking at the chemicals that are released from plaque in your arteries. It turns out that if you've got mild little plaques that are not really dangerous yet, they put out one set of chemicals.
Oh.
And as the plaque gets thicker and more inflamed, it starts changing the chemicals it puts out. And then if you've got a really bad plaque that is getting ready to rupture and give you your heart attack or stroke, it's putting out yet different chemicals. And by measuring these inflammatory products that are being produced by the plaque, we can not only tell you, yes, you do or don't have plaque in your arteries, we can actually grade those plaques and tell you how close you may well be to having your heart attack or stroke.
Oh, wow. Very important. That date is May 9th at all three of our clinics from 9 to 4. You can get your appointment for that day. We're telling you now so you can get in there and get that appointment time. Just tell me you want to make that heart appointment for May 9th, and this is the number you call. It's our famous number, 866-86-YOUNG, from May 9th at all three of our clinics. We want to see you heart healthy. Yep. Absolutely.
And one thing that you're going to notice, that's a Thursday. It's not a Saturday.
That's
and the
right.
reason that it has to be a weekday is this is a very touchy test. We have to get it to the lab that does the testing the same day. It can't sit overnight. It can't wait till Monday. So we have to draw it, and they pick up our lab work about 5 o'clock.
Okay. That's why you have till 4.
So we have to have the last blood draw at 4. So we can't run over. We have to get your blood drawn. We have to get the blood processed properly and get it out to be picked up the same day, or the test won't be valid.
Okay.
And that's why we've had to do it on a weekday, and we have to do it on a day that before the couriers arrive to take it to the lab.
Good to know. All right. Let's go to the phones right now. We've got two on the line. David in Monroe. Hi, David. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hi, Jerry. Yes, I have a problem called electromagnetic hypersensitivity. Okay. And I'd like to describe the symptoms and, you know, get your advice on the underlying problem and what might heal it.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, I basically had a steady increase, you know, in sensitivity over the last 12 years. It's about 2 times more sensitive every year. And it's gotten pretty much to the point where it's now life-threatening. I get, pains anytime that I try to, get out from under my protective padding and screening. And the way it manifests, it says soreness in my organs, like the stomach and the heart and the spleen and the gallbladder. Can be caused by either Wi-Fi or cell phone transmissions, or by a computer, being next to computers, anything electronic.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't manifest as fatigue or a burning sensation in the skin like some other EHS patients. So I was wondering what would be your best advice on that?
Well, for one thing, you can no longer live in the city. If you're here in the metro complex, you are going to be surrounded by electromagnetic radiation in high concentrations, just because that's where we are.
Is. So he's in Monroe, so maybe that's better for him.
Probably
depending
better
on where
than,
he
yeah,
is.
Better than living next to the Microsoft campus. Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'm living in Monroe, and I've tried Gold Bar, which is a little better, and then Index, which is a little better still. But I can survive in Monroe. I've tried all three.
Okay. Well, and that's basically all you're going to be able to do is to move to areas where there is less electromagnetic radiation. We don't have any medications really that protect you from this. I've never actually had a patient with these issues. But I read about them from time to time. I see lectures on them once in a while when I go to meetings. But other than shielding yourself, which is just hard to do 24/7, the only other choice is to get away from, you'd probably have your happiest life out in the middle of a Kansas farm.
There you go, yeah.
Where you're 40 miles from the nearest, generator of anything. You're still going to have some radio and TV signals going by from time to time, but, it's going to be a much cleaner electromagnetic environment than you're at even in Monroe.
So. All right. Would you happen to know of any, class of doctor or anyone who treats EHS that I should see?
There are a few out there because I know that they give lectures at the A4M and longevity meetings. What you ought to do is, I hate to recommend you go to a computer because of your issue, but you're going to need to. You're going to need to get to some computer and go to the A4M website and look up basically doctors that are lecturing on this, They'll give you the name and the practice locations of the doctors that do, they give the lectures that are the experts. And then you can hunt them down and see if you can make an appointment. I don't have any of their names off the top of my head, but most of them lecture at A4M at some point. A4M stands for American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. Okay. So American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, find their website, look at the programs that they offer and the lectures they offer and the meetings they offer, find who's giving lectures on the EMS situation, and then that's the doctor you want to chase down.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
All right. Take care, sir. Good luck.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, David.
And I'll be looking forward to visiting you in your Kansas horse farm.
On the prairie.
Way out in the boondocks.
There you go. Watch out for those tornadoes. All right. We're going to head to Stanwood right now. Katie is on the line. Good morning, Katie.
Hello,
Katie.
Good
morning. Hi.
How do we help? How can we help, ma'am?
Well, I have stage 3 kidney disease for a couple of years, and I've been on gabapentin about 900 milligrams for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And my doctor got me down to 300 milligrams, and I was wondering if I should try to get off of that so my kidneys don't get worse.
Well, I mean, obviously, the less medication you can take, the better. But since you've been on gabapentin for a long time, I presume you've got a chronic pain or a neuropathy problem of some sort?
You know, actually, they put me on that as a crossover drug for bipolar. And I'd like to get off of it. But it's hard to get off medicine for me. I don't know about anyone else. But when you've taken something for so long, it changes your brain chemistry and it's hard, but okay. I'd like to get off of it. I was on 900 milligrams, and my psychiatrist is the one that called me at home and told me that I needed to get off of that. It's destroying my kidneys. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was great that she called me and told me that instead of, sad, actually, that my GP didn't tell me about it. But
All right. Well, yeah, there are drug reactions. You know, gabapentin doesn't usually cause kidney disease, but there are people that have drug reactions to gabapentin that can damage your liver and your kidneys, and it would be the reaction directly, almost like an allergy to the gabapentin that would cause the problem. You know, and you've tolerated it for a long time, so it's probably not involved in your kidney disorder.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you want to get off a drug, fine. But, you know, I don't know about gabapentin with bipolar disorder. Bipolar is not a disease I treat, and so I have very limited expertise in that. But if they're using it for your bipolar, and if it's helping, I don't see your kidney disease as a reason to stop it. Okay?
That's really good news. I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call, ma'am. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Katie, for your call. We have room for one more call left. If you've got a question for the doctors, now is the time to call. 800-465-8770 is the number. It's 800-465-8770. And real quick, as we're waiting for this next call, again, we have our heart special day focusing on the heart.
Heart health
heart
at longevity.
Health day, yep. Yes. And that is a Thursday, May 9th from 9 to 4 at all three of our clinics. And you can find out more and get scheduled, because you do need an appointment for this, by calling our number 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG.
You know, we've told a lot of our patients to see if their primary care providers will do their fractionation study. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But the ones that come back to me still don't include everything that our lab does. tests. Mm-hmm. They don't include the inflammation markers, the genetic marker, and the omega check, which is unique to longevity and was created for longevity.
Yeah. And that part, that test, for those who have never heard of an omega check, is we're measuring your omega-3s versus your omega-6 fatty acids in your bloodstream. And looking at that ratio.
Right.
Yeah, most Americans eat way too much omega-6 and not enough omega-3 fats.
Exactly. The sixes being pro-inflammatory and the threes being anti-inflammatory.
And that inflammation impacts every part of your brain and your body. So your joints, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and most important, your brain, because if the brain don't work, the rest don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it comes down to.
That's right. And inflammation is something we haven't really heard of until recently, so very important. We're going to take one last call from Olympia. Jerry is on the line with a question for the doctors. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Jerry.
Hi. Hello. Hey, quick question for you. I hear all this bad information about statin drugs, and a friend just had a stomach cancer, and he said they put him on it. I know nothing about it, except everybody seems to be a doctor around me, and they're always saying stay off of it. So I'm just curious, what is this stuff?
And, Dr. Googles.
Yeah, what is it? Exactly.
Well, the statins are normally used for lowering cholesterol. They have a lot of other effects. They are also anti-inflammatory drugs. So, and they're being tried as ancillary treatment for dementia because of the inflammation in the brain. But the statins' original marketing has been for cholesterol. The good side is cholesterol goes down. You get some diffuse anti-inflammatory effects. Some people have less pain. Some people have less cognitive issues with it. And all that is good news. The bad news is the statins consistently lower your coenzyme Q10. And CoQ10 is necessary for mitochondria to produce the energy you need for life. And so if your CoQ10 is dropping, you're at higher risk of congestive heart failure, for instance. Your muscles tend to get weaker. Some people get really fuzzy thinking because the statins interfere with cholesterol metabolism. And if you're interfering with cholesterol metabolism in the cells in your brain, then your brain doesn't work as well. You get confused, disoriented, memory problems. You can get muscle pain, muscle weakness, joint issues, just fatigue, lethargy, just feeling awful. Now, the good news is that's a minority of people. Okay? Most people take the statins and don't notice anything bad. And although we do tell everybody that goes on a statin to take extra coenzyme Q10, because I don't want them to deplete their Q10 levels. But, if you are one of those that have adverse reactions to statins, then you got to stop them or at least switch to a different one. Funny thing is, people that react badly to one statin don't always react badly to the next one. Mm-hmm. And there's six or eight different statins out there, each with their own characteristics. So it is possible to pull you off one that you're reacting badly to and put you on another somewhat dissimilar version, and you might do just fine. Mm-hmm. We don't use a lot of statins in our practice because we can usually lower cholesterols and get rid of the inflammation very nicely without having to use them. But for some people, they're necessary.
All right. Well, that's a lot better than finding some information from Dr. Google. So I really appreciate it. So I'll see if I can relay some stuff back. And it was just a curiosity question. I totally appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry, for that. Wow. Just a little bit of time left for our show today. We have talked about all sorts of things, focusing on kidneys today, it seemed like, and a little bit with hormones and heart health and back to kidneys. So, wow. And rapamycin always seems to be a hot topic. So thank you for joining us and tuning in. Let me give you that phone number so you can become part of longevity. Here is the number to make your appointment for that health analysis and that blood test. We want you to be healthy, moving forward, and active. And as Dr. Mixon says, stronger, leaner, faster, smarter, sexier, and of course, happier. Yeah, he's got a big smile on his face. Here is that number to make your appointment or make your appointment for our Heart Health Fair going on as well on May 9th at all three of our clinics. The number is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or go on to our website at lmclinic.com. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week on Longevity's Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening.